You are listening to the INCJ podcast, Conversations about International Criminal Justice.
Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the first episode of our podcast series, Living Criminal Justice Research. This is an initiative designed to make research more accessible and engaging and relevant for practitioners and everyone interested in criminal justice. My name is Ana Esquerra Roqueta. I work as Policy and Liaison Officer at the Confederation of European Probation, and I'm also Associate Teacher at the University of Barcelona, based in Barcelona. Today, together with my colleague Jeffrey, we are really pleased to welcome our guest, Kyle Hart. Kyle is a senior probation officer with His Majesty Prison and Probation Service and a training lead in the West Midlands. In this episode, we will be exploring Kyle's research on the early termination of community orders based on positive progress, looking at why this practice remains relatively rare, despite its potential to recognize rehabilitation and support a more proportionate sentencing. And now I'm pleased to give the floor to my colleague, Jeffrey.
Thank you very much, Anna, for this brilliant introduction and also for your kind invitation. My name is Jeffrey Janjan. I'm from the Netherlands, working at the place The Hague. I worked for around 8 or 9 years as a probation officer by myself. And nowadays, I'm a policy advisor and also a dual PhD candidate at the University of Leiden.
Thank you so much. Kyle, would you like to add something in what I said? Would you like to please introduce yourself?
No, thanks for such the a detailed introduction. I, in terms of a history of me, I have worked for probation in England and Wales for 9 years now, and before that, also worked in a variety of prison settings, so custodial settings. I've always worked in the criminal justice service since my time at university, so since around the age of 21, and I've worked in various different areas in England and Wales, mainly across the East and West Midlands, and as I say, in custodial settings too. I have also been a short-term placement inspector for His Majesty's Inspectorate of Probation as well. And this particular research project that I'm talking to you about today in regards to early terminations for good progress was completed as part of the HMPPS Community and Criminal Justice Leadership Master's Degree, which concluded in February of this year, so February 2026. And the dissertation that I wrote about was all about early terminations for good progress, which I know is a big topic at the moment, a hot topic at the moment, with all the sentencing review changes that are currently underway in England and Wales. And I'm really pleased, really really honoured to have the chance to discuss this research further outside of the university master's programme. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kyle.
I think that's a very broad and robust experience, Cal. Very nice.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Cheers.
The first question I thought when I read your research, what does ETGP, Early Termination of Community Orders for Good Progress, mean exactly?
So early terminations, I mean, ETGP stands for Early Terminations for Good Progress. It was an abbreviation that I used in the research report. But early terminations for good progress, it's when a community order it's specifically a community order, because you can't terminate, licenses, for example, early for good progress. If this topic and my research is all around community orders specifically. And early terminations for good progress is when a community order is ended before its planned finish date, because the person on probation has already achieved the aims of that sentence. So, like, you know, reduce their risk, they've engaged well, and they've made meaningful life changes. I suppose in simple terms, ETGP, early terminations for good progress, is about recognizing when a supervision has done its job, and ending that order is at the right time.
Okay, and why is it so important to use ETGP in probation practices?
Yeah, so ETGP, I mean, this has always been something which probation officers have had the power to do. But, you know, in practice, so despite it being, you know, a sound, legitimate and lawful aspect in policy, it's something which in practice, you know, isn't rarely used, I should say. There's a clear gap, basically, between policy and practice in regards to early terminations for good progress. So, this was something that I saw from my own practice experiences. As a probation officer myself, I regularly returned orders back to court on the grounds of good progress. I felt that it was very much a real good motivational tool for somebody on probation to be able to, work towards. And again, this was something that, like I say, in my own practice, when I was managing a caseload, I used very regularly. But then I did also notice myself, that not many other practitioners, knew about this, practice this aspect, really, rarely sort of returned their cases to court for good progress. And it just, I suppose, when it comes to thinking about a dissertation topic, I thought this is something which I think is underutilized and isn't as widely understood, maybe. And I just wanted to, delve further into practitioners' decision making, specifically around their cases when it comes to consideration of who they're putting forward for early terminations, and as well as analysing decision making and why people maybe aren't doing this so much. Look for ways to improve this area of practice. And it's worth saying at this point that. So the Ministry of Justice statistics that are available online show that that cases being put forward for early terminations or being terminated early on the grounds of good progress, only 7% of cases on the probation caseload, according
7%.
To 7%.
Wow.
7%, yeah. So a really small number. And this has been highlighted, like I say, in the MOJ statistics, but also in HMIP, in their outcome studies as well. In terms of looking at the outcomes of people on probation, that they recognise that there's quite a small number, like you say, 7%, that are being terminated early on the grounds of good progress. And I thought that looks strikingly low. And I thought, okay, if I can research, as I say, practitioners' thoughts around this and why, maybe what is not being done and how we can improve this aspect of practice, that would be really beneficial. And also added to that, as well as that statistic being sort of a key driver for the research, and a key point of evidence, the independent sentencing review that concluded last year and is now driving our Sentencing Act reform changes that are currently underway in England and Wales. The Independent Sentencing Review actually discussed in the report the need for probation as a service to focus more on outcomes as well as input into the service. You know, there needs to be a stronger emphasis on outcomes as well. So again, the combination of these other literature, bits of literature, really drove my interest in this topic. And as I say, it already has a strong legal and ethical basis. Only a small minority of cases are actually being terminated early in practice.
Important research.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting, really. Actually, in order to continue in what you are saying, your research shows that early ending of community orders is possible, as you said, but it does not happen very often, 7%, if I well understood it. Why do you think that is?
Oh, interesting. I mean, again, relying on some of the data within the research, really. So some of the themes that come out of the research were around, a strong organizational emphasis on risk management that shapes decision making. So, practitioners, they described participants, I should say, because not everybody within the sample was a practitioner. Some were managers and some were also leaders as well. So the research captured views from not just practitioners on the front line, but also, managers and leaders. Some of the themes that came out of this research were, that strong culture of defensibility and quite rightly public protection, understandably carries significant weight, but it just meant that, practitioners would then, acting in a, in an environment where this aspect of probation practice, this ability was being sort of, sidelined for other priority areas, which was really interesting because, early terminations for good progress, and they say that the underpinning research and literature shows that it's actually a key driver for rehabilitation, and can really support identity shifts and, support people's onward progression in life after probation intervention. But yeah, practitioners felt that, keeping people on probation was in some cases the safer option. So that was one part, aspect. And there was also, practitioners, managers and leaders spoke quite a lot about the operational pressures within the service mm-hmm. that create barriers to early termination applications. So, there's a lot of waiting lists to go back to the courts. There's lots of waiting lists for programs, for example, and intervention work. So that ability to actually be able to support people's progress is constrained, I suppose, in that way. So the system constraints make progression difficult, and then over time these challenges really reduce the confidence that practitioners and participants, I should say, had in the applications that would then progress, throughout the within workable timeframes. There was other themes that come out around aspects of policy at the moment, which reduces the time that people are actually having supervision with their probation officer for. So this also made evidence in that progress more complex when these short-term early termination, these short-term sort of early ending to supervision policies have been implemented. I'm talking specifically about the reset and impact policies, which are quite new, but they sort of limit the time that people then have on supervision with their officer, able to sort of note and observe that progress. And then there was other themes around, you know, the lack of guidance and the lack of awareness. It's not mentioned in training. So new staff didn't know that this was even a possible tool at their disposal to take an order back to court early on the grounds of this progress. This case making meaningful progress. I should say that this wasn't all about identifying problems. There was some solutions that came up within the study as well. And, you know, there's lots of discussion about that in the report.
Yeah, regarding what you said, I just wrote down two things, like something that it really made me think about identity shift. And I'm linking this to the distance. And actually, a question that I already had in mind is that, do you think that recognizing positive progress can help people build a new identity away from offending and, let's say, minimize the effects of what they say pains of probation or probation pains? Would you like to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, no, I think you've definitely drawn the right connection there to desistance, in desistance theory. I think early terminations for good progress is certainly something that can help, shift identities, especially because, I'm thinking of other academics and scholars, specifically, Shad Maruna and other desistance theorists that have spoken about the importance of endings in probation how well the order ends and that experience for that person on probation ends can have that lasting impact as they then, are expected to go and, reintegrate back into the community. Having that ceremony at the end, or that ability to have their progress recognized formally, is powerful. Again, I'm going to relate this and give like a practice example. So when I, worked in my very first office as a probation service officer, there was an intervention called Foundations for Rehabilitation. I remember this was a program that at the end of each module, it had a ceremony. So the final session of each module was actually just a celebration, for participants to come in and to celebrate the fact that they'd completed the module. And it always used to feel, and practitioners were also invited into this ceremonial session, and they were given certificates, and you could just see the positive impact that it had on individuals, and their ability to their interpersonal skills had improved, their ability to understand themselves had improved, and the risks and what their aims and goals were going forward now, after the completion of the program and the modules. And it just, as I was writing this research, I kept thinking about that initial, that previous intervention that I used to see happening in the probation office. And unfortunately, it's only that particular office I've ever seen that sort of happen, and it doesn't seem to happen very regularly now anymore. It seems to be something that's faded away. But again, it just, to me, reinforces the power of endings, really, and formally sort of recognizing progress in that way can really be really powerful. As I say, I think for a person on probation to be able to finish their order, have it terminated early, and then have some sort of formal record or formal recognition, whether that be a certificate or a letter, or it be recognized on their on their pre-convictions list, for example, you know, and it's actually formally marked on their pre-convictions to say, you know, this person was given a community order for this offence. However, they, you know, worked really hard and the order was terminated early on the grounds of good progress. That, I think, again, this is, you know, there's further research that's needed in this area, but I think that has potential powerful implications for employability as well. And also, you know, I suppose the impressions that it can have on this, I suppose, wider sentence of confidence and public confidence in the service to, you know, support people with actually making meaningful progress. So yeah,
it almost sounds like a kind of an reward effect for our clients.
Absolutely, I completely agree. I had this in mind, and I think that in terms of self-confidence, identity, this might have a huge impact. Really, I think that this is super. So a good practice to be shared around Europe.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, that's great. If you think so, I mean, what happens in other areas? I'd be interested to know. Is this something that you see happening in your respective jurisdictions?
Yeah, because I was thinking that, for instance, in Catalonia, community work sentences are generally completed in full, and with fewer formal opportunities for early termination based on progress. And while I was reading your summary and dissertation, and while you were talking, I thought, oh, this could be a good example to be implemented in other jurisdictions. Jeffrey, I don't know how it's working in the Netherlands, but
in the Netherlands there is also something like ETGP, but it's also very low use because probation is always linked at an risk culture and risk thinking is dominant, you know. So it's very complex to use GTP structures.
I think as well, and this discussion has made me think actually. And Jeffrey, you just mentioned it there. I think you said, you know, that it's almost like a reward. Now, whilst I think yes, I suppose you could say or argue that it's could be seen as a reward, I think I'd be really cautious about it being promoted as a reward, because we still have to remember that these people, you know, have been given a sentence for committing a crime, you know, and, you know, people, the public will want to see that there is an element of punishment to that.
Yes. And I think
this is where I think, you know, early terminations for good progress gets a little bit thorny because it can be viewed as something that is, I suppose, a reward or leniency, you know. But I think if we reframe that to it being actually a recognition of progress rather than it being outright reward, but a recognition of progress and a recognition that the sentence objectives have been achieved, and the purpose of the sentence has been attained, if you get what I mean. So I think there's some more reframing if this was to progress in other ways. I think we'd have to be really mindful of the way it's framed and the language used around it as well.
Yeah, this is also very interesting. And continuing building in what Jeffrey and Kyle said, I'm thinking that for a person that has always been labeled as offender, person who has committed an offense, wherever, at the end of the sentence, get just recognition or they say, hey, you have been behaving good, well, that's also super powerful in terms of identity, self-identity. Yeah, thank you so much. It brings a lot, actually, your research, not only in England and Wales, I think that also around everywhere. Yeah.
And what are your hopes for the future?
I mean, I would love to see more research done on this topic. I'd love to see, the views of sentencers and victims, and people on probation, to have their views also researched on this particular topic, so we can really then build up a bigger evidence base of, early terminations and its effectiveness, and maybe even do some more quantitative type studies in England and Wales to really track, reoffending rates for those cases that maybe have been terminated early, and those, compare those against those that ran the full term. This brings me as well to another piece, a key piece of literature that underpinned the study. There was a study that was completed in 2013 by Baber and Johnson in an American Federation journal, and they found theirs was a lot more quantitative, and they found that those cases that ran that were early terminated, and they compared those cases against those that ran their full term. And the cases that ran that were early terminated reoffended. Sorry, so the cases that were early terminated, they actually reoffended at a slower rate than the cases that ran their full term.
Which excellent! I thought would be, wow.
Yeah. Really interesting. And that was also irrespective of risk level as well. So they also compared, those cases that were low risk against those that were high risk, and it showed that even regardless of risk, those that were early terminated reoffended at slower rates compared to those that actually ran the full term of their probation supervision. That was a study in America. It was also so again, as I say, it showed that there was no compromise to public safety, and it saved the state a lot of money as well. So there was also a state beneficial aspect to it as well. But they also had, there was a follow-up study in 2024, and that also concluded with the same results and the same findings, and showed that again there was no compromise to public safety for those cases that were early terminated. So I would like to see more research in a UK setting on this topic. I think that's really important.
I think you're a very important thought leader yourself, Cal, about this topic. Very interesting.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much for this beautiful and interesting chat about this very interesting and important topic. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. We hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something new. We hope so. And don't forget to follow the podcast and share it with others. We will be back soon with a new episode. Take care and see you next time. And yeah, let's follow your interesting research, Cal. Thank you very much for everything.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to the INCJ podcast, conversations about international criminal justice. To find out more, go to our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or follow us on Twitter at INTCJ Network.